Next on BYUSN, today we celebrate BYU's 5-0 start by naming our September superlatives like, who's BYU's most valuable player right now, and which player has been the biggest surprise? BYU TV analyst Blaine Fowler also joins us to discuss what has impressed him the most about BYU's undefeated start, and is a 10-win season really on the table?
And Dick Harmon of the Deseret News talks about what went into the creation of the 1984 Championship 40th Anniversary magazine. And with so many Cougars crushing it in the NFL, has BYU ever had a larger impact in the NFL?
You're a guy who has some experience with that, Austin.
Just a little.
And an opinion. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Thursday, October 3rd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside the aforementioned Austin Colley, who also is a man who definitely loves some bacon.
You want to know what? I keep I grill bacon on the side of my bed just because I love the smell every morning, like Michael Scott.
Have you ever burned your foot, though?
No.
On the George Foreman grill.
A head injury or a foot injury?
It's a head injury.
Okay.
Classic episode. Hey, Ohio State apparently has taken their love of bacon to another level.
Yeah, what is this, bro?
This is wild. Vending machines for bacon in your stadium.
Like, is there a variety of different bacon that you can get? I mean, we got peppered bacon, we got mapled bacon. I mean, who's just crushing bacon out of a vending machine?
Is it warmed? Is it a heated bacon machine?
Or is it packaged?
It has to be packaged.
What if there's just...
It is.
Cooked bacon right there on the rings.
It is packaged, but, like, there's... I need my bacon, like, warm. I want it warm.
Yeah, this just seems like a massive PR stunt here.
Of course
it is. Can we also get a photo of inside the machine? Like, I don't want to see the side of the machine,
yes.
Right? We get it. Oh, pork, Ohio State. We get the branding. But give me the shot inside, right? Because now I'm curious.
Austin, I need you to focus now, not just on bacon.
Well, I'm gonna be bugged the whole segment.
We need more information from O'Pork and the Ohio State University on this matter. In the meantime, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
He went 5-0, baby! Let's go! Touchdown, Jake Retzlaff! Parker Kingston and the Cougars! Can you believe that? It's made by Chase Roberts! Drew Wigley seals the deal!
What's trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Now all I can hear is that bacon commercial. Bacon, 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 bacon. Focus. BYU football enters the bye week and the month of October at 5-0. So today we look back on the first month of the season and deliver our September superlatives. But those are so obvious in some categories this year, like best win. That was Kansas State.
No question.
Best play, Parker Kingston's punt return. There's a little more debate there.
There's a little debate.
Potentially. The point is that there are some clear winners in some categories. We opted to steer away from those and go for a little bit more of a deeper dive into the September superlatives like this. And I thought a long time about this one. Who is BYU's most valuable player through the month of September? Austin, who do you have the MVP through five games?
Listen, it would be a lie to say that I'm not biased towards the wide receiver room.
Okay.
But
you have a few options, though.
I do have a few options. But, I mean, the one that stands out is Chase Roberts, right?
Okay.
He's having an unbelievable season, okay? I think I looked up a stat last night that he has his catch ratio or his catch percentage is 74%. 72% on 11 contested catches.
Mm.
Okay?
You throw it up, he is going to get it.
Bro, all that tells me, reliability, dependability, consistent, right? Which is what the BYU has needed on the offensive side of the ball. If you look up last year, Chase, I think, was 50% in both of those kind of departments. No, 20%.
Okay.
I think it was 20% on contested catches, 50% on catch percentage. But... I mean, when you need a receiver, Chase Roberts is the guy. When you need a play to be made, Chase Roberts is the guy. And I think everybody knows that. I think everybody can see that on the in the game. But, like, to have the stat to back it up, because I think the next closest guy is Darius, and Darius is somewhere around, like, the 40% mark. But, like, if I'm Jake, I got a guy, or if I'm A-Rod, I got a guy in Jake who may not have as much experience. You're going to want somebody out there that's going to help make him look good. Right.
Especially, and Chase is doing that.
And Chase is doing that. Right. And at the right moments, too, the catches that he's making, the plays that he's making are happening. And at the moment where we need momentum kind of propelled. Right?
Sure. Whether people want to admit it or not, the most valuable player through five games, Austin, has been Jake Retzlaff.
This is a good pick. It's a great pick. Right. Jake's been freaking phenomenal.
He has outperformed expectations, has he not?
No question. I think he's top five in QBR right now in the conference, in the Big 12.
I'm telling you, Jake Retzlaff, he has been 2 weeks this season one of the highest graded quarterbacks in all of college football, according to Pro Football Focus. Not 1 week, 2 weeks, including last week after his performance against Baylor. He's completed 90 passes on 147 attempts, well above his 50% completion percentage last year. He's over 60% now. I know the five interceptions are a concern for some people, but 12 touchdown passes. He's had some explosive touchdown passes, one to JoJo Phillips in the first game, most recently to Darius Lassiter. He's finding Chase Roberts as well through a dime in the Kansas State game that was just a gorgeous football into that corner of the end zone. Jake is making plays. Oh, and by the way, he's the team's leading rusher, and he's averaging over 4 yards a carry, even when you factor in sacks and the losses in yards by sacks, Austin.
Yeah, great for Jake, bad for the offense.
Not so great for the running backs. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But for me, and he's handled the pressure.
Yeah.
How much noise has there been about the second that Jake starts to look not good or what? Bench him!
I was just going to say, do you think everybody was sharing this narrative, let's say, after week two against SMU?
No.
No chance.
But he fought through that, and there was real concern because it was loud. There was a ton of noise. Hey, maybe it's Gary Bohannon's turn. Jake has answered the call. He has shown the mental fortitude, shown the mental strength, the ability to overcome that and to play well. And I know that the defense is going to take a lot of the credit for the Kansas State win, but he still had to go in when the opportunity was presented and finish those drives.
I don't think people understand mentally how challenging it is to perform when you know you're on a short leash or when you know you've got somebody waiting in the wings to take your job. Rightfully so.
For sure.
Earns the respect and earns, you know, could have been in the starter day one as well, right? Like, that takes so much, like you said, mental fortitude and confidence in oneself, right? Like, your confidence cannot waver at any point in time, and it easily could have gone south after the SMU game, right? But for Jake to stick in there, man, and continue to grind and continue to, you know, have that confidence in himself that he is the guy.
Yes.
That it was just outstanding.
He's averaging 4.6 yards per rush. He's got the second longest rush of the season, so he's shown his capability that way. He's alone averaging almost 275 total yards per game, which is a good number.
Right.
Given the competition that BYU has faced, three Power Fives in the first five games, three road games.
Yeah. No, we knew Jake gets better when he's using his legs.
Right? Yes.
When he's able to create on his legs, have some spontaneous throws, that is how Jake operates. That's how Jake's always going to operate. So when you stick him back there in the pocket and you say, hey, you got to make these methodical throws, set your feet, drop, worry about guys coming on your back, worry about, handing the ball off first, second down, then on third and long, we got to go for something 10 to 12 to 15 yards, right, to get that third down conversion. That's not how he operates. How he operates is a little bit of backyard ball mentality, get him out there, get him kind of in the groove, and you do that through getting him going on the ground.
He's playing confidently, and to me, he has been the most valuable player for all the things that we just discussed.
It's debatable, but sure.
How about this one? The most surprising player in the first five games of the season. Who has shocked you to a degree?
I think Harrison Taggart, right?
Okay.
I think Harrison Taggart, you know, one of the leading tacklers on the team. You know, I think he's got one or two interceptions this year, right? Had opportunities for more.
Yes,
right?
But, SMU.
Okay, but I think a lot of the noise was coming from Jack Kelly, from Bywater, Ben Bywater, who we thought, you know, was going to be able to play the rest of this year. But,
yes,
you know, I wasn't hearing a lot about Harrison Taggart here in the offseason. And now, I mean, he's kind of the cowbell. Him and Jack Kelly make that defense go. And when he's on fire, when he's playing well, the defense is playing well.
No question, the linebackers have been outstanding.
Phenomenal.
For BYU across the board. If we're talking just sheer surprise, maybe I'm lost in a little bit of the recency bias of the Baylor game.
Okay.
But Crew Wakely has
dog
absolutely stunned me with his performance.
Yeah.
Last year he was what, seventh string safety going into the season?
Yeah.
He was nowhere near seeing the field. Now he's making game-winning plays.
Right.
And multiple at that. A sack last week, tackle for loss, an interception to seal the game. He is one of the top tacklers on the team. He's got 19, which is tied for third, I believe, on the team this year with Isaiah Glasker and Jacob Robinson. The only two that have more are your guy, Harrison Taggart, who leads the team at 25 tackles, and Jack Kelly with 20.
Can you remember a time when the secondary has been this good in BYU history?
You got to go way back. You got to go way back.
Maybe Gennaro. Maybe Gennaro's kind of years where they had him and who was on the other side of Gennaro?
Well, there have been
San Francisco. You had Gennaro.
Yes,
you had.
There have been some. There were some dogs on that team for sure. The '96 crew gets a lot of attention with Tim McTyre and Omar Morgan. Like that was an outstanding defensive backfield. Maybe even 2012.
Okay.
Daniel Sorensen was back there. That defense was really good in 2012. But is it the best?
The secondary is far better. Like when you got lockdown corners like Jacob, Mark, and then you got safeties like Crew and Talon Alfrey and
Raider Dumoni. Yes,
like they're deep at that position, man.
No question. But to me, Crew has been a very, very pleasant surprise. And his physicality, Austin. That's one thing I do want to mention. He is such a physical player.
Yeah.
He brings the heat and the speed, and the physicality is part of his game. All right, most underappreciated player right now.
I think Mark Collins, right? Like, Jacob Robinson gets, I think, a lot of hype on the defense, right? Like, it's almost – the thing with Jacob is – and I'm already just putting a hole in your pick.
No. So, I have my reasons.
The one thing about Jacob's going to get the attention – and Jacob, it's already expected that he's going to come out and play.
And that's why I feel like he's underappreciated, because it's just expected.
Okay.
Meh.
But Mark Collins, on the opposite side, man, I mean, he's doing as much damage, if not more, and that's partly because they're avoiding Jacob, right? Offenses are avoiding Jacob. They're going to him. They're going to Mark. But I think, you know, his ability to play man coverage, his ability, I mean, he is a phenomenal corner, right, and has made some big plays in some big moments.
For sure. My answer, if you couldn't use the context there, is Jacob Robinson, because I feel like people take him for granted.
Yeah.
This is most underappreciated. Yes, we know Jacob's a great player, and we have opined about all of the wonderful things he does, which he does.
Yeah.
But it's almost like an afterthought, because it's like, oh, yeah, Jacob will just do his thing. Don't worry about it. He's got it locked down.
I think the completion percentage in coverage for Jacob Robinson is somewhere near like 20 to 30%. Last time I checked.
Teams are not throwing it, Jacob.
And when they do, they're not completing many balls.
It's not happening often. And he's got 19 tackles, tied for third on the team. So he's done this quietly.
Yeah.
He's forced a fumble as well. I feel like he's a little underappreciated because it's just expected.
I agree with that.
Like, we're spoiled by Jacob Robinson.
I agree with that.
So that
hard,
was my
thinking.
It's
hard
thinking
to make plays
there.
When the offense isn't coming at you.
Okay. Best single game performance. Any one player in any one game or any one position in any one game.
Or any one side of the ball.
Ooh.
In any one game.
I mean, if it's that good, if you want to like be collective, sure.
So, listen, I think all of Cougar Nation knows, I think you and I know, I think the game defining, or I should say season defining moment, what could be the season defining moment is going to be the Kansas State game, right? And a large part of that victory and a large part of that momentum shift for the season was due in large part to the defense and how they performed, right? That sequence there at the end of the half was a turn of events that I don't think we've any Cougar fan has seen transpire in the history of the Cougars, right? Like, I mean, scored what, 17 points in under 3 minutes?
31 points in 6 minutes and 25 seconds if you go into the second half.
Yeah, that's crazy. And against a ranked team, I think at the time they were ranked 13th in the country, conference play.
And Kansas State's still good. They're showing it.
Right. And I think we're always going to continue to hear this narrative throughout the entire season of, like, is BYU's defense really that good, right? Like, oh, we'll find out this next game, right? Like, I'm hearing that all the time. We'll find out how good the BYU defense is this next game against Arizona. It's like, well, they just got done putting it on Baylor. They just got done, what, putting it on Kansas State, right?
Handle their business against SMU, who's a team averaging over 40 points a game.
Right, exactly. I think that game's going to be a lot more important the longer we get into the season. But, yeah, the defense has been phenomenal. And against Kansas State, I'd say that's probably the best single-game performance.
Yeah, we're not far off. I'm just going to go with a specific position group in the Kansas State game, and that is the linebackers.
Okay.
You think about the play that changed the game. Who forces the fumble? It's a linebacker. It's Jack Kelly, baby. Getting in there. Tommy Price
scoops up the fumble and scored, though.
Yeah. Someone else on the defense.
Safety. That's a defensive effort.
Your secondary, for sure. Harrison Taggart, your guy.
Yeah.
Hey, he comes up with an interception as well in that wild turn of events. And Isaiah Glasker, that dude, he too could be one of the guys that qualifies as the most surprising player or maybe the most underappreciated player. Isaiah Glasker has been awesome this year. The linebackers against Kansas State, so good.
Woo! I would agree with that.
My goodness. All right, most important play.
I'd say, you know, Parker Kingston's punt return.
Really?
Yeah, for two reasons.
It was amazing, no question.
For two reasons. Kind of moved the needle for us white slot receivers. Right? I mean, just a little.
Touche.
Right? So,
fair point.
Thank you, Parker. But I do think, you know, there's one play that kind of gets the mojo going. And to me, that, in essence, kind of encapsulated in that one play how BYU season's going, right?
Oh.
Not many expect it, but it's there. We've known it's there, and it's just a matter of just unbottling kind of that swagger, unbottling that ability to make those types of plays. And, you know, I think brings the attention to what we're doing here, right?
Yeah.
Outside of BYU Sports Nation, outside of, you know, Provo, right? It kind of brings the hype to the team.
I like that microcosm comparison because a lot of people thought it was going to be a disastrous season of sorts.
Yeah.
Mostly national pundits.
And that play
started that way, right? It's like, oh, it's going to be a disaster.
One, like, degree different where that ball hits, that's in his face mask into the back of the end zone.
He got a good hop. He told me, he's like, I was just praying for a good hop.
Great hop.
And it happened.
Yeah.
So while BYU is fortunate in that moment, to their credit over the season, and to your point, they have crushed it. I mean, they turned what many thought was going to be subpar, poor, disaster into something unbelievable.
No question.
You're ranked number 17. You're 5-0. You're showing up, whether you want to buy into it or not emotionally right now, you're showing up on college football playoff projection boards from multiple notable college football accounts.
It almost feels like basketball.
It absolutely feels like basketball. You're picked to finish 13th, just like basketball was.
You're picked to only have 4.5 wins.
Overperforming for sure. I'm going to go with, in terms of the most important play, because I feel like it changed the entire game and in some ways might change the entire course of the season. I go back to the scoop and score. Because BYU was trailing 6-3. They were having trouble getting anything going on offense.
Yeah.
When that play happened, you can't tell me. Any fan, any BYU media personnel, any media personnel in general cannot tell me that the fortunes of that game and the season did not almost single-handedly change in that moment.
Yeah, no.
What BYU was capable of.
100%.
So we're talking about most important play. When that happened, oh, baby. BYU has been gangbusters ever since.
Yeah, and it happened against Kansas State too, right? Like that, I mean, the Rock was rocking. For sure. Lavelle Edwards was going crazy.
That was hype.
Yeah. No, it was phenomenal.
That stadium was incredible. That one got the stadium going. And just an unforgettable night for sure. So memorable. Okay. Couple of quick hitters at the end here, Austin. Best catch, because, you know, you're a receiver, so you got to rate the best catch. What is it? What is it?
I'm going with Chase Roberts, diving catch versus Wyoming.
Ooh.
Phenomenal ball by Jake. But behind the guy, okay, on a little over route, a little design kind of throwback, okay? And I want you to watch the difficulty in this catch.
Oh.
Like, he has to go around the body, okay? And then he's losing the ball as he comes around the helmet. And then not only that, he's diving, and then he gives him a little stare down, which, you know, I didn't expect that from Chase.
Neither did I, and I loved it.
I loved it. But that's the type of swagger that we need on this team, man. We need those dogs that are going to be like, dude, throw it to me all day. I'll dominate this guy.
I love it. He probably worked through a defensive hold there early in the play, too. Hand checking, guys
no
grabbing
question.
His jersey.
No question.
The way that he fought through that and made that catch.
Phenomenal.
Awesome.
Great throw by Jake, too.
Okay, I'm going to go a little off the radar here. This is an interception by your guy Mark Collins against SMU.
Yeah.
One, for making an incredible read and play and doing his homework, which he told me, he's like, I've been studying it. They had a dream about this play that happened. And then the feet down, Austin.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that was a sexy pick.
Boop. Oh, yeah.
That was a sexy pick.
That was so great.
And then he holds it up. Like, I got it. Yeah, that's mine. Yeah, no question.
My vote for best catch. Yes.
I like that one.
Okay, last one. Craziest stat of the season.
The difference in third and fourth down conversions with the BYU offense. I think on third down, dude, we're like 28%, and on fourth down, I think we're 100%.
Not quite 100, but it feels like 83.
I mean, it's crazy, right?
10 for 12 on fourth down.
Okay, tied for eighth in the country on fourth down, 119th on third down. Now, obviously, we know why that is, right? We're a fourth down team, right? A-Rod knows that going in. Hey, I got two downs here rather than one. So, you know, it's part of the strategy. Sometimes that can bite you in the butt, especially when you're playing a team like Arizona, right? You want to stay on the field. You don't want to give those guys the ball.
Sure.
And I think that's going to be a key to the game, right? Third down conversion is going to be crucial against Arizona when BYU plays them. But, yeah, no, that was probably the craziest stat I've seen.
My craziest stat leads to some third down struggles for sure, and that is that through five games, BYU does not have a single running back with over 100 yards rushing on the season. Not one.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we got to change that.
And Jake Retzlaff is the leading rusher because of that. There isn't one running back with over 100 yards compiled in five games.
The one thing I will say is, like, how many running backs do we have?
We've seen six of them.
Holy smokes.
We've seen six different BYU running backs, and it feels like it's a different guy every game.
Every game.
So there have been a bunch of injuries, which has factored into that as well. But it's a crazy stat. But all of them have made plays. Enoch Nawahine, Sione Moa, L.J. Martin early, and then unfortunately he gets hurt. Miles Davis has made some plays against SMU, and he caught a touchdown pass against Baylor.
Yeah, we're going deep.
Pokai Ounga has had his moments of running tough. Hinkley Rapati is finally back and healthy. Will he play this week against Arizona? It's been a very interesting ride with the running backs.
Very much so.
But none of them with over 100 yards rushing. Okay, our question of the day is this. Back to one of our superlative questions for the month of September. That is, who is BYU football's most valuable player through the first five games? At Kyle_813 on X answers, I think you got to give it to Jack Kelly. Every game you hear his name being called for breaking up a play. I don't know that anyone else has been more consistent. He is, in many ways, the heartbeat of the defense. He wears the comms in his helmet to communicate with the coaches on the sideline to get play calls right. Jack's importance cannot be overstated. But there are a number of candidates that deserve consideration in this conversation.
It is kind of crazy, too, that he's a transfer, right? This is his first year, and he's got that responsibility. He's got that respect from his team. Like, that's phenomenal.
Awesome. Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation.
Okay, number 20, BYU Women's Volleyball plays their second consecutive road game in the state of Arizona tomorrow night. And number 15, Arizona State, you can watch at 8 Eastern on ESPN+.
After the break, Uncle B, dual threat analyst Blaine Fowler joins us to discuss his MVP for BYU football through five games. Does he really think a 10-win season is on the table? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
There's more to learn. There's more progress to be made.
Their wins are sound, solid football. So I think contender in the Big 12.
We haven't even played at our best consistently, and that's what I'm trying to get done this week.
BYU trying to win the bye week. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside former NFL and BYU wide receiver Austin Colley. Joining us now is Uncle B, dual threat analyst Blaine Fowler, national champion as well, is back on the show. Blaine, great to have you with us on BYUSN. We've been recently discussing some September superlatives, including the following question, which Austin and I varied on, but who is BYU's most valuable player through the first five games of the season?
I have to divide it into offense and defense because they have such different impacts. So I know you're asking me for one, but my offensive MVP is clearly Jake Retzlaff.
Yes.
And I think he's doing better than anyone expected. 61.2% completion percentage. I think it'll creep up towards 65 as we go on. 1,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, kind of taking care of the ball, 241 yards a game, an efficiency rating of 150. But that's not the most important thing. Oh, by the way, he leads the team in rushing. And this is with sacks. He's averaging 4.6 yards a carry. He's got 42 negative yards, and he still leads this team in rushing and has a 4.6 yard average. That's not the most important thing. His leadership has been really impressive to me. That's the most important thing. He's clearly the leader on that offense. He's got some other dogs in that huddle with him. Like, I love Chase Roberts and what he brings. Connor Pay, and he's hurt, and that kills because of his leadership up front. But Jake clearly is the overall leader of this team. He's got this energy. He's got this passion. He leads the way with work ethic. So to me, on offense, he's clearly the guy. Blaine. And then on defense, I'm going to go with Jack Kelly on defense. Mm. And he's not the leading tackler, but all three of these backers have been great. The front, like, this defense has been outstanding, but kind of for the same reasons. He's second on the team in tackles with 25. He's first in tackles for loss with 5. He's got 3 sacks. He leads the team in sacks, 6 hurries. This defense has 7 picks because this front 7 has been so good at getting in the quarterback's face, right? And so, But the reason he's the MVP is the same reason I'm choosing Jake Retzlaff on the offense. His leadership is unquestioned on the defense. He sets the tone for everything they do, gives everybody confidence, makes everybody better around him. So I have to go with 2 MVPs. I got to go with an offense and a defense. And for me, it's Jake and Jack.
I like it. Blaine, I don't know about you, but on the street, I'm getting asked all the time, like, is this BYU team for real? After every win, it's, is this BYU team for real? Is this BYU defense for real? So, in your mind, after a 5-0 start, playing against a Kansas State team that we're finding out may not be as, or we did find out, may not be as dominant as we once thought, is this BYU team for real?
I think when you look, the defense, I think, is absolutely for real. And defense, we were talking about it before the season even started. Austin, you and I had conversations about this, that if you can be really, really good on defense, you can be decent on offense and win a lot of football games. And so to me, I think they're for real because I do think they're for real defensively. SMU did before BYU played and what they've done since. You know, they scored 59 the game before, 66 the next game. They just put 42 on Florida State. They couldn't move the ball at all on BYU. And Kansas State, they have maybe not quite as dominant as we thought they were going to be defensively, but on offense, you know, they came out the next week and laid a big number on somebody. So I think the defense is for real. I think the offense is getting better. So to me, I think the team's for real. When your defense is really good, you're in every game. And as this offense comes along, and as they have a young quarterback in there that seems to be getting every game, I think they have nothing to do but go up, and they're 5-0. When you're 5-0 and you feel like, and I heard Kalani say as you guys were coming back from this break, we haven't played a complete game and we haven't played our best football yet. That's encouraging to me. So, yeah, I think they're for real. I really do.
All right, Blaine, let's continue with these September superlatives and specifically move to the most surprising player. And I'll add, as I ask you this question, that Austin went with Harrison Taggart. I chose Crew Wakely. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment of the Baylor game from what Crew did. But I want to add a tweet as well from @PRLacey, who says, Caleb Etienne and his improvement from last year. is his most surprising player. What a turnaround. Where do you lean in that conversation? Because there are a lot of candidates.
Yeah, you want to know what? I could easily see myself siding with any one of those three because we didn't really know what to expect from Harrison, and he's been phenomenal leading this team in tackles. Caleb was struggled so much with assignments and being aggressive last year because he didn't know his assignments that you knew physically he had it. He's been phenomenal. But Spencer, I'm going to side with you on this one, and not just because you're my nephew, but because I think Crew Wakely, we weren't even talking about Crew Wakely. We were talking about Taggart as an Oregon recruit, and if he really could play the way he used to play, he could be big time. We talked about how physically gifted Caleb Etienne was, Etienne was, and that if he could figure it out, he could be good. We weren't even talking about Crew Wakely. Like, he wasn't even on the radar. And he just had, not only from the big play production, but in terms of his grade, the best game he has ever had as a Cougar. And he had the best grade of anybody on the defense this last week. He just keeps getting better. He's physical. He's passionate. He's assignment sound. He's great in the open field. Now think about that. He's number one on this team in solo tackles. He's in the back end, and he's the one that's got when somebody breaks free, it's him one-on-one, and he always makes the tackle. I have to side with you and say Crew Wakely. He came from so far off the radar to one of the leading guys on this defense, and a defense that's very good. I got to go with Crew.
Okay, along those lines, would you say that he's probably the most underappreciated then? Like, given the points that you've kind of thrown at us, or is there somebody else that may not get the recognition they deserve?
I'm going to go with, because I think that Crew Wakely, I think we all agree, even Spencer and I both pick him, I think people know who he is. I don't think enough people know who Blake Mangelson is.
The Mangler.
I think Blake Mangelson is having an unbelievable season. I think he's having I could get drafted in the NFL type of a season inside. I think he's the biggest difference in that front for BYU this year. But because he's inside, you know, things go unnoticed. He has been phenomenal. And he gives BYU like this length, those long arms at 6'5 and 275. He's as strong as a house. These linebackers are dependent on John Nelson and Blake Mangelson inside, tying up blockers, holding their gap, playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And both of those guys, I could maybe do a co-one for those two guys inside. This is a phenomenal front four. And other teams after the games keep going, wow, that front four and those dudes inside are monsters. Blake Mangelson is long. He's athletic. He has a motor that never, ever stops. You have to take him out of the game to give him a blow if he's slowing up because he won't ever come out because he never thinks he's too tired to give 100% effort. And he's having a phenomenal season. He got 8 solo tackles, 17 tackles. He's got a stat. He is a tremendous player inside, but because he plays D-tackle, we don't notice it. And that's why Taggart and Kelly and Glasgow and these guys get all the tackles. It's because of what he's doing there. He's my most underappreciated player on this football team.
They throw in 3 tackles for loss for Blake Mangelson. And, of course, the interception that he came down with after John Nelson batted it down against Baylor.
Yes. Got hands.
Blaine Fowler is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, now we look out and zoom out, if you will, to enjoy the 5 wins altogether, Blaine. What has impressed you the most about BYU's 5-0 start?
I think I'm going to go with the depth that they have on defense and how well the young players are playing. They're rotating a lot, especially in the secondary. I mean, BYU hit a home run in recruiting in the secondary this offseason. And you guys talked about already Tommy Prassis' unbelievable play with a scoop and score. Johnny Cabea is getting regular play at the nickel. We see DeMooney, who just keeps getting better every single solitary game. You see Trey Alexander is a true freshman, 18 years old, going out there and playing at that corner spot. And so to me, the effectiveness of the young players that they just recruited that are playing in big moments in big games, and there's not much of a drop-off there. And because they can spell them, they put those guys in a bunch in the third quarter so that in the fourth quarter in this Baylor game, the ones with experience could be back in that game and be rested on that 100-plus degree surface and make three consecutive stops to end that game. That's about depth. And that's been the big problem for BYU in years past. I've been the most surprised at how good these young guys are.
Yeah, Blake, I just got done telling Spencer, it might be one of the best secondary, or at least the deepest we've ever been in the position, right? Just phenomenal players year round, or all around.
Oh, yeah.
I was on this show earlier on this spring, and I said BYU could get 8 wins. Okay? Now I'm going to push that.
You were laughed to scorn at that point, too, by many.
Yeah, everyone laughed. Of course, you want to know who laughed the loudest? Vegas with the 4.5.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But they've been wrong all year. Is 10 wins? Am I pushing the envelope here? Is 10 wins on the table now?
If they can stay relatively healthy in the front 7 on defense, and they can't really lose – more than maybe, like, they need to stay healthy now with what's happened to Connor on the offensive line. 10's not out of the question. Here's the funny thing. ESPN's FPI, you know how they do their – before the season started, BYU had them winning 4. And a couple of those were, like, 52%.
Yeah.
They would agree with you, Austin. They would say 10 now. I think 9 is – I mean, 9's kind of my bar now. Right, the way they're playing, if they can stay healthy, I do not think the 10 is out of the question, which is crazy because 10 was a dream even for me, and I sometimes have blue goggles, and you know, we know kind of what they have coming. We knew how good this recruiting class was. We knew how well Taggart was shaping up. We knew the move of Blake Mangelson inside was going to make a difference. So we knew things that the national pundits that don't get to kind of watch practice like we do through spring ball, we knew they were going to be better than 4 games. I would have been thrilled with 7. My new bar is 9, and I will not be surprised with 10. It's even changed for me because of the way they're playing.
The belief is absolutely there because they have proof of it now. So fun to watch that momentum. Blaine, great to talk to you as always, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Good to see you, my guys. Both my nephews right there. Those are 2 my nephews right there.
Great to see you, Blaine. If we don't win 10, I'm going to be disappointed.
Me too.
Hey, it's on the table, as we just discussed.
Well, listen, I'm excited because BYU women's soccer has been back, is back, hits the road for a Big 12 match at Arizona. You can watch tomorrow night at 10 Eastern on ESPN+. I love them Lady Cougs.
Keep it rolling. Up next, which former Cougar is on the big stage tonight in Thursday night NFL football? This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I am Spencer Linton. He is the great Austin Colley. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Tyler Allgeier and the Falcons host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight on Thursday Night Football. Allgeier leads the Falcons with 6.1 yards a carry and is coming off his best game of the season with 60 rushing yards on just 8 carries.
Give him the ball more, please. BYU women's soccer picked up 2 weekly Big 12 awards, including Mackenzie Vance, named the Big 12 co-offensive player of the week after scoring 2 goals in wins over Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Micah Cromanhook, named the Big 12 freshman of the week after scoring her first career goal against Oklahoma State and tallying her first career assists with 2 against the Cyclones.
And number 20, BYU women's volleyball lost to Arizona in 5 sets last night in a Big 12 rope contest. Claire Little shined for BYU in the loss, however, setting new career highs with 24 kills and 16 digs. With the loss, BYU drops to 9-4 overall and 2-1 in the Big 12. All 4 losses have been in 5 sets.
That is crazy.
They've grinded, but haven't come up short. Up next is another rope contest at number 15, Arizona State.
All 4 losses in 5 sets, and all by 2 points. Like,
they're right there, man.
So close. BYU men's and women's golf wrapping up competition at the Blessings Collegiate Invitational yesterday in Fayetteville, Arkansas. The men's team finished 4th overall in the 10-team event. The Cougars, led by top 15 finishes from Cole Ponich, Peter Kim, and Simon Kwan. And the women's team also finished 4th overall. Congratulations there. MJ Berrigan led BYU with a top 10 individual finish. Berrigan shot 1 over par, which was good for 6th. Overall.
Golly, how would it be to shoot 1 over par?
I will never know that feeling, Austin.
I can't break under 85. Good luck to the BYU women's tennis, which also sounds phenomenal, who is in Los Angeles taking on USC later this afternoon.
And don't forget that tonight is Marriott Madness for BYU men's and women's basketball at the Marriott Center, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, open to all fans, no charge. Come check it out. After the break, he is a legend of the Deseret News. Dick Harmon joins us next to discuss what went into the creation of his 40th anniversary magazine celebrating the 1984 National Championship. This is BYU Sports Nation. It's good reading. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Austin Colley. Joining us now is a man who has followed BYU sports for decades and done it at an elite level. For the Deseret News, he is the legend, Dick Harmon. Dick, welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Thanks for having me, Spencer. Austin, good to see you.
Good to see you, sir.
All right, you have created something that is magical in written form. It is a magazine or a special from the Deseret News that is simply called 1984, the year BYU was second to none. Dick, when did the idea come about that you needed to produce something like this?
Well, I think it came from a brainstorming session in some meeting where executives get together, and then my boss, Kent Connon, called me and said, hey, we need to do this. It's on. Can you kind of organize some writers to get together? We have people on our staff that have been there, covered the games, kind of knew the things that were going on back then. So let's take that and reflect back and bring up those moments that existed. Let's go into depth with some of the players. Could you contact some of them? So we contacted a handful of players. They were gracious enough to sit down and have an interview and remember some of the things that went on.
Dick, I was fortunate enough to attend the BYU football 100-year TV deal we did, like the dinner get-together, the gala that we did not too long ago. And I got to see guys like Mark Bellini and Glenn Kozlowski. What was it like talking to those guys 40 years later?
Oh, it was awesome. The thing about those guys is they're all legends, number one.
Yeah.
Number two is that they love each other so much. They have a great passion for what they went through because they went through things that not very many people ever go through.
Yeah.
And football players never go through unless you're an elite and a group of people and teammates. And they care about you. They buried sons. They've buried each other. And they've been through a lot. But in talking to these guys, breaking down what they had that stood out about that team, they believed. They believed from the very first game and from a little get-together they got with team captains that they could do this. And so week in and week out, in every game that they played, there was no doubt in their minds that they would end up winning no matter what the score was.
Yeah.
If they were behind or if they were ahead, they just believed. And I think, probably the story behind that team is that if you believe things can happen, you can make them happen, and they did on the field.
Hard to believe that it's been almost a decade since we lost the great Lavelle Edwards, yet you met with members of his family for the magazine, and obviously you had a great relationship with Lavelle. You covered BYU football when he was doing his thing for the better part of 29 seasons. So what was that like to reconnect with the Edwards family as you put this special together?
Well, they've always been a special family. They have such a great impact on these young men. Lavelle had a great impact on me. I was nobody back in the day, just starting out, but the care and the attention that he gave me, I mean, sitting in a golf cart during football practice with Lavelle Edwards, or being at Riverside Country Club, and after nine holes saying, okay, Dick, get out of my cart with me and go sit in with the other guy. And I mean, he had a personal touch that was second to none, and the players believed in him. They knew that he loved them, and because of that, they cared and wanted to perform for him at a high level.
That's awesome. Dick, you've been around the game, BYU, for a long, long time. I'm sure there's much that you probably, you haven't seen in the course of those 40 years. Is there anything that you learned or anything that was new, any new stories that came to light when talking to these players?
Yeah, I think one of my assignments was to talk to Robbie Bosco, and we all know Robbie. Everybody sees him. He's been a coach here. He's been all over the place. But he told me that when he got injured in that game against Michigan in the national championship game, he was back in the back getting treatment from George Curtis and some of the others, and then he came back. And when he walked down the hallway to go back into the stadium hobbling, he saw his father. Here's his father that had been there ever since he was in Little League all throughout his life, supporting him, taking him to games and that. And his dad was there. And when he saw him, he was just overwhelmed with great emotion that here is a guy that I love and care about, and he's here for me right now at this moment. And it lifted up to the point, gave him a shot of adrenaline to where he went back in there as an injured guy, limping on a leg, and finished that game. And I thought that was a cool story about how important parents can be in the lives of their children.
Yes.
And just showing up at the right minute and being there meant so much to him.
You consider that Leon White's father was also on the sideline. I mean, on a gurney. They wheeled him into the stadium so that he could support his son. Like, those stories are priceless. Priceless stuff.
Very valuable, yeah.
Great stuff. All right. So maybe the most important question, how do people get their hands on this and find a copy of it?
I think you can get it at Deseret Book. You can get it online. If you go to our website, deseret.com, you can order it. There's a little link that you can do that. And I think we did a pretty good job. Lee Benson, Doug Robinson, some others that have written in this, they've taken time to reflect back, and their interviews were very good.
Yeah. The cover art alone, I don't want to touch it because I don't want to ruin it. That's how good it looks.
Leave it alone, Austin. Okay, Dick, we've got about 30 seconds left. I want to ask you one question about what's happening with BYU football right now. And that is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you about what BYU is doing in year two of the Big 12 thus far?
I would say about 8. I'd say about 8. And the other thing is that there's a whole generation, maybe a generation and a half of BYU fans, that don't remember what this was like in 1984. They have no reference point. They didn't know the players. They didn't see the games or anything. What you're experiencing now with BYU basketball and with this team at 5-0 and ranked 17th, you're getting a feeling of the excitement that was back there in those days in the 80s when these teams were doing that almost every single year and winning conference championships under Lavelle, 19 of them. And they were ranked almost all the time, and a lot of those teams had a chance to be undefeated. This one did.
Oh, great insight and a great way to tie this thing up. Dick, we appreciate you spending some time with us. Congratulations to you and your colleagues on putting together a great piece.
Yeah, that's awesome.
BYU fans need to have. 1984, the year BYU was second to none. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I look forward to
luck.
The 2008.
We need to do that.
We're working on that one, Austin. We're working on that one. After the break, who do you think BYU football's most valuable player has been through the first 5 weeks of the season? Answers all over the board. This is BYU Sports Nation, but it's Jake Retzlaff.
Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation rolls on from Studio B, and we do so celebrating the 100th season of BYU football by reliving some of the best wins, moments, and plays on this date in Cougar football history. Rewind to October 3rd of 2008, Austin.
A great year. You're making me blush.
What happened?
Number 8 BYU at Utah State. Max Hall, baller, connects with Austin Cauley. He turns it upfield and down the side.
Look how fast you are.
Just give me the stiffy right.
Give the stiff arm.
There.
Talk to the hand.
Stiffy. Sean Doman forced a fumble for the Aggies. Quarterback DeAndre Borrell, who returned at 38 yards for a touchdown. Harv Unga added an 11-yard touchdown, and BYU led 24-0 at halftime.
All right, if some Max Hall to Austin Cauley is good, then more is better. Second half, this one from 12 yards out. But look, you never dropped a pass, bro.
Give it to me.
You never dropped a pass.
Give it to me.
Austin finished the game 8 catches for 132 yards, 2 touchdowns. Third of your BYU record, 11th straight game with 100 yards receiving in a game streak. BYU went on to win 34-14. You improved to 5-0. 5-0 being the operative term this week. You know what's funny about that game? It was 34-0. They scored 2 late garbage touchdowns, and their fans were chanting, "Overrated." And you're like, dude, you're getting blown out on your home field.
Go home. Go home.
It was 34-0. The 4 stringers are in there.
Yeah. Relax.
Oh, classic. Our question of the day: who is BYU football's MVP through the first 5 games? Our elite voice today, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Andrew Peterson on Instagram, who says, Jake Retzlaff. Yes, he leads the team in passing, obviously, and rushing,
Andrew,
and has been a great leader. Points for you, Andrew.
No one likes a sucker.
Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Who gets it today, Austin? How about Mackenzie Vance and Micah Cromanhook of women's soccer? Yeah, Big 12 awards?
Big 12 awards.
You cool with that?
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, I like it.
They got to keep it rolling, dude.
Any, any notoriety we can get, you automatically get the America West.
I still can't get over America. How fast you were. Were you running sub 4.5, bro?
Dude, before the mesh, I was like low 4.4s.
Let's go,
I had a
man.
High ankle sprain, never rehabbed it. Turns out, not great. Not great for the speed.
Rehab it.
Need to rehab.
Our thanks to today's guests, Blaine Fowler and Dick Harmon, the Deseret News.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, ran out of time. The conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Austin, I am Spencer. Shout out to Lance Reynolds. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs.